Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it is Tuesday. I did Tuesday. It is Thursday night. It is prophetic head night. I'm going to need those intercessors to keep on holding me up. And I want to tell you something. I may say that, and we may say that lightly, but I don't. I believe in your prayers. And I am convinced that I'm able to do this because you hold me up in prayer, especially these your apostolic and prophetic folk. You hold me up in prayer and see to it that I get here on time doing what I have to do at the right time. But you know what else you give me? Let me tell you what you give me. You give me boldness. Because of you, your prayers and your intercession and support are making me a courageous messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I pray about that. I pray all the time, Lord, let me speak your truth not only boldly, but as you would speak it if you were in my place. Because that's really what a representative does. A representative shows up in the place of the person that they're speaking for. And people are not supposed to see the representative. By my words, by my demeanor, by my life, by my credibility, you see Christ. And that's what a representative does. When you are listening to someone, you have to look for who sent them. You know, Jesus said that all the time. He said, you know, the Father that sent me. He said, we always thought Jesus didn't have any opinions at all, but he has a little clue in John where he says he has an opinion. He said, listen, I've got many things I could say to you, and I've got a lot of things that I can speak into, but guess what? He who sent me is faithful. Now listen to this. You're going to love this. He who sent me is faithful, and I only speak to the world. Come on, somebody. Now you know that's good. I only speak to the world those things he has given me to speak. In other words, there'll be a time for my opinions. There'll be a time for my point of view. There'll be a time for my judgments, criticisms, and anything else I want to give. But that is not what this assignment is about. This trip to earth is about manifesting the Father. It's about revealing the words of the Father. Come on, are you getting this? Is that exciting? You know, when I teach prophets, we have to start on basic stuff. Like representative, you know, and when you look up these words, because we've got so Fifth Avenue politically correct slick that people don't even know what words mean any longer. And so when you look up these words, you know, you find out a representative is to represent. We say represent, but to represent or bring into the present the person that they are substituting for. Did you like that? Periscope, Facebook, Blog Talk. Hey, so I'm representing Jesus Christ. People, why am I preaching the word? Why am I teaching the Bible? Because that's his text. That's what he wrote. That's what he gave me to speak to the world in his name. Now, we have the Holy Spirit to give us updates, to give us real-world applications and all of that. But basically, if I don't have anything else to say, then I have to preach what he says. I said this morning, and I'll say it again, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one to have God's mind. God did not put his mind anywhere else. Now, other gods put their minds anywhere. But God Almighty, the true and living God, confined his mind in his Son, and his Son confined his mind in his church. So, it is very important that we get back to what the man had in mind. Wouldn't that be nice? Can we get back? What did Jesus have in mind? It's time for us to get back in touch with what he had in mind. Because we have the mind of Christ. When you read the New Testament, you know how many times it says mind of Christ, his mind, let this mind. Because we are the only place any generation will find the mind of the Almighty. And he confined it in his church. He confined it to his church. When he put it, he said, I will write my laws in their hearts and in their minds. Why do you think he said that? Everywhere I am, my thoughts will be. So if you don't hear any God's thoughts, well, I'll leave that at a dot, dot, dot. So What are we going to do tonight? Well, I have a couple of things I want to do tonight. I want to finish up a little bit of the prophetic activation, but I won't finish it because it's like, what is this? It's like 94 lectures to this, so you obviously are not going to get this tonight or in any single night or weekend. So I want to do that. So what I want to do is answer a question that we didn't get an opportunity to answer on Tuesday. Two questions came in, and my team filters them to find out which ones are really pertinent to the hour. And so I addressed one of them today. If you did not catch Blog Talk Radio today, you should, because I answered the question of if God tells you that you are somebody, an apostle, prophet, or something in your prayer closet, if he says it to you directly, why do you still need to be ordained publicly? And I'll tell you, it was a hot session. So if you didn't do it, go to blogtalkradio.com, Paula Price Show. After this is over, don't leave me now. Please, don't leave me now. I need you guys. All right? But go there and listen to that, because quite a few leaders were on today. We had over 500 people listening for the full hour, nearly 600 actually, for the full hour listening to the discussion of why, even if God tells you that you're a prophet in your closet, why you need somebody publicly to confirm that word. And so we went there. Well, tonight I have another one. And so one of the, I make a statement when someone asks about paying prophets, you know, remunerating prophets. I made a statement about how we pay everything but prophets and how pastors get paid for every sermon they preach. And so one of the respondents, I don't know who you were, but you can, you know, bear witness to this. But one of the respondents said, but we don't pay, we donate. So let's clear that up. You donate with money, and unless they're walking away with a chicken, a bird, a feather, they're walking away with a car or something, and even that, if they walk away with anything of value, guess what they have to do? Pay taxes on it because it's a gift. Or unless we're under another, unless you have some sort of exemption. Do you realize that all your donations have to be declared, or the majority of them have to be declared as income because it's money that came in? So you can say you don't pay your pastor, but you do. You pay your pastor, you pay your elder if you must. You pay a lot of people for the word of the Lord. You realize how many people you pay for the word of the Lord and don't want to pay the prophets? And who were the first ones to establish the economy for God's kingdom? Prophets. First one. Before we had the priest, we had the prophet. Because that's what Jesus said. Abel was a prophet. Now, Abel actually walked there too, because remember, his brother killed him because of his offerings, which means he was doing a priestly function. But he was the first prophet. And then coming on down the line, you paid the prophets. And you know why you paid them? Because of the supposedly, because they took themselves off the scene and dedicated their lives, extracted themselves from this world, took themselves out of the economies of this world to tap into the economies of the Almighty for his people. That's why you paid them, because that's what they did. And so gratitude was, this is nice, but, you know, gratitude is an intangible appreciation. Nothing shows your appreciation like you touching and giving something of value, something it costs you, and for some people it hurts you to get it. Where your treasure is, where your heart is, there's your treasure. Where your treasure is tells us where your heart's located. So when you believe a word is of God, then you go. You can call it sowing a seed. You can call it donating. In the end, it's the exchange of something of value. Payment is the exchange of something of value. So if you value the words of the Lord, then you will exchange something with it. And a thank you does not cut cash in the bank. Thank you is when you get some flowers. Give me some flowers, you know. You give me some, you know. And that's a whole other thing. Well, I won't give you money, but I'll give you stuff. That's another way of seeing to it that the prophets stay broke. And see, as long as they're broke, you don't have to respect them. But let me tell you what you're doing. You're also tying up their ability to tap into Satan's treasury for you. I have been in situations where I didn't know anybody. You know, I'm doing offering, and I don't do all of the little fun lines and carrying on because my mantle works. So I have done that, and I've had people come in, and then I go to bless them later on because I'm praying. I know nothing. And I go to say to somebody, I say, the Lord is with you. Just hang tough. And I go to someone else, God's going to do something with your family. And they're all excited. And then I go to this other person, and all of a sudden, glory to God, God is a witness between us. The book of their life opens up, and I'm a gusher, and I can't shut up. And I'm going on and on and on and on. And I'm like, God, why can't I shut up? I'm all in these people. And God's going to do, I go 20, 30 years down in their life. Later on, I found out someone will let me know, this person sow a huge seed. Why? Because they value the Lord. And no matter how much you sow a prophet, if a prophet is accurate, no matter how much you sow, it's not enough for the harvest because you can't dictate or predetermine the harvest on a prophecy. It's impossible. If somebody says, I'm praying for you not to lose your business, the value of your business for 10 years is not enough because the cost would devastate your life. So there's not enough. So here's where I am. I'm a counselor. I want to go into that. Prophets are counselors. Their first thing they are is they're advisors and counselors. That's why every leader has them on the team. When you read scripture, every leader's first counselor was prophet. First. Because they needed somebody to tell them what's going on in the unseen world because they understood that the unseen world was manipulating the seen world. So they needed somebody with power that could tap into the unseen, but also with enough strength to affect the events in the world. And I do that all the time. And I don't say, well, I don't really care. I do it. That's what I thought of my office. I mean, nobody complains that they're good at their job. When somebody says I'm good at my job, nobody complains about that. I'm good at this, and I'm good at this because I did not get it to be bad at it. So I got in it to be good. And to be honest with you, I got in it to be the top. I'm working on that. So I do that. I go in there. We don't fight about that. I don't fight. We're not fighting weather and all that. I don't do it. Now, I pay dues for it because when I first got out there, man, I was slaughtered. My first 10 years, every time I turned around, I was slaughtered. And then my strength grew. My power grew. And it is a power. It is a power, people. It's a power. Power to turn events, power to stop situations that happen to other people and they don't even know how or why, and yet we can tap into why. We can investigate. We can interrogate the spirit. We can inspect what's going on, and we can affect that. Oh, no, you're not going to tell me that should be free. I don't believe it. I just don't. Now, I believe that you ought not to squander your money. I'm going to tell you that. Dr. Price said don't squander your money. If you don't believe, you don't give your money to an incompetent doctor, you're not going to give your money and perfectly choose out an incompetent attorney. How many people scared when they have to have a public defender? Now, some of them are very good, but do we really believe that? No, we don't believe it because we believe they're overworked and underpaid. So you don't squander your money, but you should you should perform your due diligence. You should know the background of those that you are using. You should investigate. You have, just because somebody runs up and gives you a word doesn't mean you have to open your purse or your wallet. But if that is a word that you know is a blessing, then you need to do something with it. Let me tell you something. I have lived some horrible trials. And you know what it's been? Because people want to pay public prophets and not accurate ones. You want to pay celebrity prophets. You don't want to pay precise ones. So I'll get a word. And I'll tell somebody, thus says God, you're going to have a baby at so-and-so time. I'll say, God said you're going to do this or that. And you know what? God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I mean, they're crying, snitting and snotting, making all that public noise. Then they turn around, that word comes to pass. And you know what? They said, well, here's a little something. Bring me some little gift in a bag, a little cheesy something, because I had to send my first fruits to my pastor or my first fruits to my so-and-so. No. Your tithe belongs to your pastor, but the doctor that did your surgery is who you pay. The attorney that won your case, that's who you pay. And some of you all, you didn't treat those prophets right, and your money is tied up. And it's tied up because that prophet went broke, that prophet lost their house, that prophet lost their car, that prophet lost their job, that prophet could not pay for surgery, whatever, because you gave what someone didn't earn. Do you know in the law, it is literally a sin to give somebody someone else's wages? Now, this is sharing teaching. Love on me. Come on, love on me, because I know money is a sticky issue because we don't think any money belongs in God's house. That goes back to traditional religion. That has nothing to do with heaven. You don't even believe that, but somebody said it, and so this happened. Some of you all, I don't know who you are, a prophet worked a miracle for you, got you in that house, prayed with you. You called them all late at night and everything, and they prayed with you, and you sent that seed to a celebrity. And I'm telling you, you owe that prophet, and you need to go back and give them their due. They labored for that. Someone else, you couldn't have a baby, and that prophet laid hands on you and delivered you from infertility, and you gave that seed to somebody else. It was a friend. You gave it to your friend. You gave it to your mentor, and that was not the one. Come on, somebody. Hear me today, because you need to get your money back, and you're not going to get it back as long as that prophet is crying out to God. Because Jesus has a mandate that said, receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, and therefore get that prophet's reward. And so you went to a meeting and you got all excited and they played all the right music and you went on down there and you gave that prophet's harvest to someone who didn't earn it. Are y'all flowing with me? Are you with me? Come on, am I getting love? Because I need the love. I started out telling you I need some love. I knew where I was going, so I had to start out telling you I need some love. Come on, I need some sugar from the king and the kingdom. But that's why your money's tied up. And some of you know I'm telling you the truth. You got there, and your mentor that's my mentor. Your mentor did not break through because that was not the dispensation your mentor had in your life. Just like you go to a specialist for special cases, you have to understand that there are prophets. That's why when someone asks me all different kinds of prophets, I tell them, because not every prophet is going to deal with your prevailing issues. And I've had that happen. I've had people get a breakthrough, send $50,000 to someone else, and send me $250. And I'm sitting here getting put out of my house. I'm sitting here losing my car. I've lost 3 houses, and I can't even tell you how many buildings, because the saints have not been just in paying the wages that they ought to pay. And you know what? And they know it. But you know when they find it out 5 years later, they come back, Dr. Price, could you pray for me? No, I can't pray. I ain't got a prayer left. I don't have a prayer. I will not pray. Just like a doctor that you don't pay will not give you any more treatment. You came here calling Dr. Price. Dr. Price is the same kind of doctor. You don't pay, I'm not doing it. I used to do it. Well, but freely you forgive. You give freely. Hey, baby, let me tell you something. You freely receive because you surely didn't want to sow back. And I'm going to tell you something. No, I'm old. Let me tell y'all something. I'm not 30. I'm not 40. I'm not even 50. Baby, I'm not even 60. I'm old. And I owe nobody nothing. But I do know the righteousness of God. And I know that some of you are listening to me today. You owe prophets, and those prophets lost their homes. Those prophets lost their cars. Those prophets lost their businesses. Those prophets lost their dates. And those of you who went out there and put a word out on a prophet and said, you know, and you destroyed their reputation, and you carried on a tale that you didn't know was true or not, those prophets, those doors shut in those prophets' lives, and when those doors shut, their economy was affected, and when their economy was affected, they couldn't pay their bills. And then what did you say? Well, I knew that he wasn't of God, because God ain't blessing. God was blessing, but you diverted the blessing. You know, it's like sending aid to a third world nation, and they divert it on the box. You cannot divert these blessings. And I've had people do that for almost 20 years. I've had ministers and leaders give a evil report, and folks believe it, and you turn around there. Let me tell you some people, those evil reports are not just tasty trifles in your mouth. They are blows of death to the subject and the object of those trifles. So you see, we got a lot to clean up. We didn't know better, but now we're doing better. And let me tell you one other thing, and now I'm really going, because, you know, I'm stepping tonight, so I just want you to know I'm going to step on. Just work with me. Y'all keep a prayer going. Share that bone, suck out all that other bone stuff. This idea that you pay women less than men, that is an unjust weight. That's an unjust balance. That is an unjust balance. And God says that he is against those who have an unjust weight. You give a person what they deserve. That's the word of the Lord. So these people breaking you through, this part, you can call this prophet at midnight and turn around and say, yeah, but you know what? I got my breakthrough, and I just the first thing I did is ran to my church. That wasn't a tithe. That was a thank offering, and you gave the thank offering to the wrong person. Your tithes belong to your church. You should support your church. But if your church didn't give you deliverance before, why are they getting the thanks for something that someone else did? You see how unjust that is? We don't mean to be unjust. We think we're being loyal, but sometimes loyalty can make you unjust. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth. You know I don't lie. And I'm telling you, some of you all are asking God, God, you gave me three businesses and they all died, but those, you know what? You probably got three prophets who are went broke waiting for you to do what God told you to do. And the prophets are kind of like the Gibeonites. You know them Gibeonites? I was teaching about the Gibeonite prayer. You know, that Gibeonite cry, that was Gibeonites will keep put you in the poorhouse. Because let me tell you something. David said, there's famine in the land. It took 3 years of the famine to let the king know that God has stopped blessing. So sometimes there's such a time lapse that there's a disconnect between when it happened and when the consequences manifest. And so he said, there's famine in the land. And David goes, like a good leader ought to, what's going on? See, there's no way in the world I'm going to have a church, people losing their jobs, people dying of cancer, carrying on, and me and God are not going to talk. Oh, we're going to talk. Honey, I'm going to turn my plate down, put on my little raggedy clothes, and we're going in. I'm going in with the king. So David, a good leader, he said, why? And God said, it's because of Saul's bloodthirsty house. And they were charging God for justice in an injustice that had been done to them. And so God said, he said, so I have to do something with their cry. I've got to do something with their prayers. And you've got pastors, you've got evangelists, you've got missionaries, you made vows to them, pay those vows. You know how we get. You got all enthusiastic, and you thought the spirit world wasn't real. But until you buck up against it, you don't know how real it is. But when you buck up against God's kingdom, the agents of righteousness and justice must prevail. What did the unjust say? He said, I fear nobody. The unjust judge, he said, I fear nobody. And I don't fear God. But this lady won't let me rest. Now, he's a judge. He could have called for her life. He could have barred her. But he was unjust. But it was God was using him, using him to give that woman justice. If somebody is holding out a prayer, let me tell you something. Your prayers are not the only ones God's got to answer. And your sorrows and your losses are not the only one that God cares about. This is a kingdom thing. We are a commonwealth for a reason. For we have all things in common. So I'm telling you right now, you can listen to all of these pastors who say that because they don't want their money walking out the door. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of their churches shut down for the same reason. I went to churches. I've gone to church. I went to one church in Jersey. They raised thousands of dollars for me. And that pastor, literally, his wife was yelling at him on the steps. He had pilot's wife. That pimp's wife was yelling at him on the steps because she knew he robbed me. Now think about it. Because that you think it doesn't matter, but then the next time you've got your building fund, you've got your fundraiser, you got your this or your that. Now, I just gave you one example. I can give you 50. I can give you 100. But I'm telling you, you know, they always ask, well, Dr. Price, you shouldn't have to give any paperwork. If I don't get paperwork, I don't get paid. You want to give me $40 for standing on my feet in my cute shoes? They hurt. I want to tell you this. See, because nobody is telling you why God is doing what he's doing, but our job as prophets are not just to make you feel really good. We also want to put you in a good place with God. See, making you feel good is temporary, but putting you in a good place, the place of harvest, the place of breakthrough, and some of these people you can't fix because they died. You can't go back and fix that, so you can do one of two things. You can sow it to God in another way and give it to their heirs because that's the righteous thing to do. So if that person is dead, you need to find their heirs. What did David do? I couldn't do kindness to Saul. So he took Saul's son, crippled son, and put him at the table. See, because we took you out of the word, we took you out of the wisdom. And when we took you out of the wisdom, we deprived you of your self-defenses. Because the Bible said wisdom is a defense. Money is defense, and wisdom is a defense. So I'm telling you right now, some of you waiting for a big deal to come through. Dr. Price is telling you it's not going to come. You're going to have to get with God, and you're going to have to let God know, because what you're telling God to do is that you need him to think more of you than he thinks of anybody else, and you're trying to make him unjust, and he's not going to do it. God said, I'm a just God. He said, I'm partial to nobody. God is partial to one thing, God. He's partial to his truth. He's partial to his righteousness. If you did it in naivety, and we all did, come on, we all have stuff like that. Every one of us. This is not about, oh, my God, let's all just fall apart. No, let's now. This is one of those things that we're going to have one or two responses. We're going to have a bunch of y'all going to get mad who she thinks she is, and you're going to tell me that's religious and all of that. God, that's unfortunate. Love you dearly. We're going on. But then you're going to have the people who want to take control of their life and turn their situations, and they're going to say, well, God, now I know what to do. Because some of you have been asking God. You say, well, now I know what to do. Now I know where to go. I know where to sow a seed. I know where to do it. You turn around and you have a great breakthrough with somebody in your little prayer service, but because that person is not big enough and you're not going to get enough recognition for that seed, you get the seed where you can get more recognition. And the Lord said, in that decision, you have your reward. So we're going to grow up. We're going to be big Christians. Apostolic people are just. Prophetic people introduce justice. You still realize justice came from the prophet. They are God's justice system. And we can't be less just than the system that's been set in place. You're going to have to do better, folks, because God needs you. He has need of your righteousness. He has need of your fairness. He has need of your equity. He has need of your justice, because that's what distinguishes him from all the other gods. That we do things that no other God will require their people to do, but who will, in fact, all other gods will encourage their people to not do, to forego doing it. We're different people. Our righteousness came from above. It doesn't come from the earth. And that's what God wants. You know, the world needs a judicial system, and they need laws, and they need courts and everything to do the things that God is trusting you to do by faith in him. Because you have faith in his righteousness. Is this okay? Are we okay, folks? Because I'm telling you, I only give you the truth. So you can say it all day long, but if you think it's okay to see to it that your pastor has a roof over his head, or rectory, that she has a nice car, and you think that's okay, and you don't think it's right for God's prophet, the voice of the present voice of God, then you have to rethink some of your views. And a lot of that is just not you. I'm going to take you off the hook right now. A lot of that is just theology. A lot of it is just doctrine. It's just a flawed doctrine, flawed theology. Because most people love God and they love him. God people love him. And they love his justice and they love his righteousness. And they love being different. Because to them, different is not less. We are the best God has in the planet. Now, whether we manifest that best or not is something else, but we are the only one with the full potential to be the best God has in the planet. No one else has that distinction. No one. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So did y'all have a question? Because I know y'all got some questions, because I know y'all got stuff y'all want to see, y'all want to say and whatnot, but I'm correct. And I'm telling you, if you owe a prophet and a prophet has suffered loss because of what you did, you will suffer loss. Because the prophet has a reciprocity clause in it. The whole thing in Matthew, when he says receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, to receive a prophet's reward, that's reciprocity. That's reciprocation. As it happens to that messenger, it happens to God. And as it happens to God, so it reverberates to you. Now, if the person isn't a real prophet, I expect you to do your job. You know, be responsible. If you don't find them a real prophet, you don't find them credible, I'm not saying you need to give them $1,000 because they help you find a shoestring. Because things ought to be fair. But God ought to be able to tell you what to do. And you ought to trust God for the harvest. You trust God to return money that you shouldn't spend all the time. You trust God to return money that you shouldn't spend at the store, money you shouldn't have spent on shopping, money you shouldn't have spent at the house, the car, the hair, the nails, the clothes. You trust God for that all the time. That's why he acts like that. That's why God is reacting this way, because God knows that you have faith, but he needs you to include his prophets in your selective faith. His ministers in general. God needs you to take care of his kingdom, because the world is stacked against his kingdom. and you are the only one to do. You want God to make you rich, take care of God's business, because God will make you a bank because you take care of his business. And if you do it in justice, he's going to trust you because he's got too few people who want to do it and too few people who will do it. You know, I always tell the story, people will pay their tithe and 20% over when they only make $250 a week. When they make $250,000 a year, that's too much money for a preacher. Let's go to the screen. I just want to wrap this up. Hallelujah. I want to wrap this up because I want you to see activation just a little bit differently. I am not canceling it out. Do not go and call all your friends and everybody and say, Dr. Price said you shouldn't do it. I am not. I'm setting parameters for those of you who want to do it a little differently. I'm not, because I refuse to be one of those speakers and one of those leaders who wants to undo everything God has done before I got around. And I've been around a long time. So if you look at your screen, you'll see a red box in the middle, and on either side, you'll see connections. These are those diagrams. I hope you can see. I know you can't see them. You're not going to be able to read it. That's not the point. The point is that you would see that activation plugs you into something big. It plugs you into the bigger. It plugs you into the better. It plugs you into the provider. It plugs you into security. It plugs you in to what will take care of that which is activated. So when people lay hands on you and say they're activating you, you need to ask them what are they activating and what you can do with it and where you're being plugged in. Don't just get excited because somebody said you're a prophet. If you look at this, God's activations do not ignite standalones or independence. The essence of activating anything is that it starts it working for another's benefit. On another's behalf. So you all, here it is, there's two B's. On behalf of God, you're activating so-and-so to receive his benefits or to be beneficial to him in ministry. So moving on. Activation limits and drawbacks. What's the limit? What's the drawback? The cords are missing. You're going to like that. You know I like our acronyms. So let's get ready. Acronyms, P-E-D. Those are the three cords. So what are they? Number one, cord placement. Somebody can't activate you and not place you. Because the first thing you want to do when you activate is find a place to work. See? Find a place to prophesy, a place to do your prophetic ministry. Secondly, employment. There has to be something that God is employing you to do. He's activating you because you have an appointment. When you get a new job, they activate you. Did you know that? Soon as you get a position in your job or a placement, you are activated. They activate you as what? Part of their company, guys. And that, so they activate you, so they let the government know that you're working now. They let the company know you're working now. HR knows you're working now. You can't just walk in a company and say, you know what, I can type and sit down at the nearest computer that you see and start typing. They're going to walk you out. So you're activated, and as a result, you're activated to become part of a larger team. Hallelujah. Deployment. If they are an authority figure, they need to be sending you somewhere. What I like is that in between deploy and employ are the words ploy, scheme, tactic, strategy, exploit, activity. So you need to understand the goal of activation is PED, placement, employment, deployment. So what are the cords? We talked about the cords. Well, let's look at the cords. You see that on the screen? The cords. Number one, C, charge. You have a charge. You know, Paul said to Timothy, you have a charge to keep. If you don't want to authorize people to do something different, then don't activate them. Just affirm. I affirm you as having finished my program. Just affirm them. That's good. I affirm you because activation implies that everything that they touch is supposed to receive them in the name of the activator. you realize that the HR for one company cannot hire you, be the hiring force for another company. So if you are activating people, you're activating them with your name and your authority or that of your backing. So that means that when I'm paying you for some activation, I expect to get something back, something in kind or something of value. The next one, obligations. Placement, employment, deployment all come with obligations, and you should know those. Responsibilities, duties, and service, not just activity. See, we activate you to be busy. We don't activate you to be effective, because that's why so many people have been activated still talking about who am I? Who am I? What can I do? What's happening? I don't understand. You know, I went to this weekend, got activated, went back to my pastor. My pastor said, nice. Anyway, because nobody can activate you for an organization that they have not included the training and the vision of that organization. Just to say you activated somebody because they're Christian, because you're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ, they don't need that. Trust me, God works through his institutions. Write this down. Write it down. Dr. Price told you, because I'm telling you, if you read from Genesis to Revelation, God works through institutions. And when he goes around an institution, it's because he's taking it down. God is the lawgiver. He's the lawgiver, and he's a lawkeeper. God sets up institutions. He brought Israel out of Egypt. In order to get them out of Egypt, he had to do something. See, I want you to see how our God thinks, for we have the mind of Christ. So he brought Israel out of Egypt. And in order to get them out, he had to get a legal release. And the legal release was he had to get Pharaoh to say, I will let your people go. He had to do that. Now, God could have come in and kidnapped them and swiped them away all night and carrying off. That wouldn't have helped anybody. But he said he had to work through the institution because the people were legitimately put under the authority of the Egyptian government, the Pharaoh of the land. So God had to take him on. Well, none of his people were of a rank to take Pharaoh on. So it had to be God to God. And what made Moses the likely candidate is because Moses was on track to be in the seat that man was in. So Moses knew how it worked. In order for God to get his people, he had to get the authority of the head of state to let them go. Just like you go traveling, those people have to ask permission to go on full plane. You can't just go jumping in people's land, taking the family, taking a little bag on sack on your shoulder. You've got to go through customs or they're going to get you for border jumping. We ought to know that with our immigration issues. You're going to go to customs. You're going to go through customs, and if they don't like the pink lipstick in your luggage, you're not getting in. You know, the pink lipstick could have reminded them of a girlfriend they just broke up with. You out, because it carried that kind of authority. So God had to destroy Egypt. Now, he got them out because he destroyed the land, because he so traumatized the Pharaoh who had already thought he was God, because the rule of Pharaoh was when you ascended to the throne of Egypt, you also ascended to deity status. Which is why, if you read it, if you have your Bible, I want you to read Exodus 12:12, because that tells you God in a way that you don't pay attention to. Because God said, you know, God and Moses were having a great time. This was Moses' first job with God and God's first use of Moses. And so they had some interesting time. Now, Moses was a good, charismatic Christian. So every time Pharaoh cried, Pharaoh cried, he said, just pray to your God for me. And then I'm going to do it. And so Moses go and he prayed to God, and God was back there. But then Pharaoh would cut up again because he thought he was conning the man. And so Pharaoh cut up, and so finally it took Moses a couple of times. By the third time, Moses realized, no, you're lying. You don't mean that. And because God was giving Moses a powerful lesson, tears don't mean right. And people have fake repentance 4 or 5 times before they come to true repentance. And most times they need a real reason to repent. And so Pharaoh had to repent. And God took his people out. Now, listen to how Pharaoh did, because, see, he's negotiating. Listen, warriors negotiate. They're not going to give you everything if they can get away with giving you nothing or a piece of it. So Pharaoh says, tell you what I'm going to do. You can take you could take some livestock, but leave the women and the children, because I need my future. Women and children, guaranteed future. Moses said, no, can't do that. He said, okay, well, I'll tell you what. You can take the women and children and leave the livestock. No, because we got to give our God an offering, and so you can't do that. Well, God ended up getting it his way, but he worked through the system. God worked Pharaoh through Pharaoh's system. God works through system because he's a God of order. He's always a God of order. That's why he takes out the leaders. Because if he put a leader in power, he's got to do it. The lawyers, I put him in power, got to let them do what they think is best. And in order for God to deal with them, he's got to remove leaders. We ask God to tear down institutions. That's not what God does. Saul and Samuel clashed. Why does Samuel have a problem with Saul? Because Saul left the person who built the nation alive and killed everybody else. The brain is still working. Agag is still able to rule because he's a king. And he's got a lot of king experience. We don't know how to fix stuff like that. We're like, well, I don't understand. No. If Agag had been left alive, because we don't realize it was Samuel, the prophet, who did the assassination. But Agag, because you don't leave kings alive, because kings who won once, they'll do it again. If they're real, if a king can be taken out after one fight, they were not a king. If a ruler, a monarch, can be taken out after one battle, they were never a power. They were only a presence. And so that God already knows this. Plus, he had a vow. God had cut a vow that I was wiping out this entire line. That's earlier in the thing. Write it in your book. And while they were in the wilderness, he said, write in this book, I'm going to destroy all the Amalekites. I'm going to destroy them out. So he had a problem with it, but God had to work through the system. If God doesn't work through the system, then he's got to do it through trauma and crisis, calamity. And God is not into tearing up everything all the time. You have a lot of you all right now are saying, well, God could have done so-and-so, but God could have done this. No. God did what was best for everybody involved. You want God to boss somebody else around, but you don't want him to bully you. See, God's a just God. So we can tell God, get rid of all the criminals, and then he'll get rid of all of the criminals, but then the minute you do something, he's got to get rid of you too, because you set a precedent. So God is like, why don't y'all work it out yourself, and as long as you don't affect my destiny codes, we'll be all right. Now, moving on. Okay, so you see it's trying to cut, I'm telling you. Y'all know it tells me that it stopped working and restarting it and all of that. Did you see how crazy this gets? But the Lord is God. We are not paying them any attention. It even stayed on that picture. That makes me feel good. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Where are we? We got to get to the class. Thank God. I can't get it to come off of there yet because it's not coming off.
Okay, I'll come in and
here we go.
Say something.
Yeah.
While she's doing that, good evening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's broadcast.
I love it.
This is just a sample of what you will get at the Tulsa Prophetic Training Institute. I strongly encourage you to do whatever it takes, legally, of course, to make that happen for you, your ministry, your prophets, your intercessors, come what may. In June 15th through the 18th, see, I passed the date test again.
Again.
We will be here in Tulsa going all the way in. Dr. Price goes all the way in at our event. And this doesn't even scratch the surface. And I say it every week because it's true. It doesn't even scratch the surface or begin to express what Dr. Price is all about prophetically. Also, if you don't have Dr. Price's materials, let's say you're new. So many people are tuning in saying, hey, I'm just meeting Dr. Price. Go to www.drpaulaaprice.com, drpaulaaprice.com, two A's in the middle there, and shop for her products. She has the Prophet's Dictionary, this book right here, the Prophet's Handbook, the Prophecy, God's Divine Communications Media is another, little sleeper book.
It is.
It is on Prophecy. probably the thinnest books you'll ever find that Dr. Price has written besides the ABCs of Apocalypse 1, and it is on prophecy. Get that book if you haven't gotten that already. Get caught up on how prophecy really works. If you are someone who has been activated and you do want to know what's next, prophecy, God's Divine Communications Media. If you have been, prayed over and you're seeking God, am I called to be a prophet? I want to go to the next level prophetically, whatever. Prophecy, God's Divine Communications Media is a great book. But don't be deceived, because it is saying it's still going to challenge you.
It is.
Because this is why. It's going to challenge what you presently understand about the prophetic. Prophecy in particular. It's going to challenge what you have been taught about prophecy. That's why most people say, I mean, your stuff is deep, okay? Because I'm still swimming. You're swimming. We're all swimming, but a lot of what people articulate as it's hard is because it is confronting and a lot of times butting up against what we thought we already knew.
Yeah. And we should have known.
Ooh.
Yeah, but can we get there?
Oh, it's still?
Yeah, I have to get work done.
Okay.
We need to get another computer. But anyway, I do, because this one's crazy. You know, I told you, my favorite computer is Hewlett Packard. I have bought iPads. I have bought Surfaces. I have bought high-end computers. And, you know, I got one little computer I bought forever ago. That little thing still kicks, rolls over, flows over. Everything else dies. That thing lasts. And I said, I spent all of this money on this silly little machine, and it has been nothing but a headache from day one. Day one. So, you know, when I buy my next little, I'm going to buy the little family computer called Hewlett Packard. Some people make nice machines. I realize they're not elaborate. We don't hardly hear any commercials. But you know what? They work. So I'm going to go on and finish this out. So I want to tell you, God works through systems and his institution. If God has an order in place, he's going to work through that order, even if that order is disorderly. If there is a structure, God's going to work through it. The problem is whether or not he gets a harvest. That's the question. Will he get a harvest out of what he's working through? However, the problem with being disorderly is this. The harvest is terrible, and God is about profitability. Everything that God does, he wants a profit on, P-R-O-F-I-T. I know we don't think that. We really don't. Do you know what I often have to tell people, you know, especially when churches think that we ought not to have money and we ought not to have business? Do you know why Lucifer got kicked out of heaven? Because he was a lousy businessman. He got caught up in his business. I know we just said we all think we're going to walk around heaven all day. Now, do you really want to walk around in a circle forever? Amen. Come on, people. We don't want to do that. No. Heaven's a kingdom. It's a realm. It's a kingdom of kings. That's why Jesus made us a nation of kings and priests unto our God. It is a kingdom of rulers, offspring of a king. All of the offspring of the king, all kingdom of, it's all about royals. And so he's sitting there, and he has a business. When I teach my class, if you want to know where I wrote it, it's in my book, Before the Garden. God's problem with him was how he handled his kingdom, not just God's kingdom, but the kingdom that was delegated to him. And God said he messed up the treasury. He messed up the business. He was a lousy merchant. He was a lousy marketeer. You want to know where bad big business comes from now? It started there. But see, you don't know that either if you don't read the book, because it's all in there. God is telling you his story any which way he can, and you know what we keep saying? No. So God has business in heaven. So how you run your business here and what you do for God in your business here is will determine what you will do there. And a lot of world powers are going to be, if they do make it in God's world, he's not going to trust you. Because he couldn't trust you with temporal. He said, if I can't trust you with that which is least, how am I going to trust you with great riches? Now, you have people, you know, the devil of poverty, spirit of poverty is real, and he will talk you into letting him move in as a lifetime occupant in your house. But I'm telling you, when you read Ezekiel 28, I'm telling you, the problem was business and enterprise. We have a problem with that in the church. Well, you know, we ought not to be selling anything in the church. God was selling stuff up there. They sell stuff. Do you know why you need to have sales? This is good. I'm wrapping up. I'm almost done anyway, so I might as well roll. I'm out here now. I'm just rolling on my boat. My machine got crazy. We're not going to get the rest of that. So But do you know why? Because business is about exchange. I know you thought it was everything else. The fundamental level of anything, your marketplace ministers, you marketplace prophets, I want you to hear this. Business is about exchange, exchange that profits others. The word profit comes from two terms, pro-fit, to fit beforehand, or to fit to go forward. So it's either going to be preparation or advancement. Profit is not just cash in your pocket. It's not just money in the bank. It's not just your expensive house, cars, and business. It's not any of those things. It makes those necessary. Those are signs of profitability. But profit is about preparation to go forward, or the matter of what you call the exchange that pushes you forward. So it's, what do you think? We always talk about advancement. We always talk about progress. And what of that? All of that speaks of profitability, because when you stay still, you make no money. You can't do it. So it's all about exchange. So what did they have in heaven to exchange? God gave everybody gifts and talents. Jesus gave all of these parables, and the two most powerful ones he gave were about exchange. What are you giving God in exchange for his gifts? Because God can't be barren. God has to keep producing. He has to keep producing. He has to keep manifesting. He's got to keep extending himself. He's got to keep replicating. God can't stop. And so every time we get new life or new people or whatever, he fills them with things that come back to him. Because he has a law in creation that says, as you give it out, it will be meted back to you. So Jesus gives you this thing, and what does he curse? He curses barrenness. He curses fear. When you read Proverbs, it's all about profitability. And so for God's church to be unprofitable in all regards is a problem for him, because he's not, he said, I'm going to spew you out my mouth because I can't take that. Everything about God. So in God's world, everybody has a set of gifts. Or talents, gifts, talents, expertise, experience, attributes. We can go on. Everybody has them, everybody doesn't have them uniformly. They don't have them uniformly because God needed the exchange. What does exchange cause? It causes relationship. It causes interaction. It causes dependency. It causes sharing. It causes one person to be at the aid or the help of another. Before business became bullying that we're seeing in today's world, it was a matter of being there for someone else and each person supplying one another's needs and wants. All those passages in there talking about that, that's how God's world runs. It runs on entity A helping entity B by giving entity B something that entity B was not given by God, but sent to entity A to get. There are gifts in you right now that you won't use because you have some crazy theological notion that you ought not to use them. And you think it's very humble, you think it's very pious, and all of that. I'm telling you, that's not heaven. In heaven, they are always trying to multiply for God. They're always doing business for God. They're very aggressive people. They are aggressive because they know to be still and to stop is to fall into barrenness or stagnation. Heaven can't stagnate. They can't stagnate. They stay. They keep moving on. And I'm telling you this. That's how do you know? It's in his word, but if you don't read the prophets, you don't know. You have to read the prophets to understand that. And when I finally got my head around that, I was like, okay, so all of that stuff that you all keep making churches give you for free, they don't get a harvest, but you don't get anything that you can use either. Because when God loses a church, it's a big blow to his kingdom. When a church goes broke, that's a blow to God's kingdom, and it's a blow to his own ability. He takes it personally. So you keep telling your pastor they should work for free. You keep telling everybody they should work for free, and yet you go to your job, and you get a paycheck. And God cannot honor that. And then when you get your pink slip, where do you go? To the same people that you said should work for free and put their life on the line. That's not heaven. That is, trust me, I say his kingdom. That's not God. And that's, and he's doing that so that he does not have to give the Most High family what is rightfully theirs. And as long as he can talk you into loving having no money, loving being poor, loving being broke, loving not working your gift, loving not going out and doing what God can't give you, loving beating down and bashing business, and as long as he keeps talking you into that, he doesn't have to get up off of your inheritance. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, everything, all the world was given to his kingdom and his kids. Now, so I'm telling you, some of you all won't go to school. I don't want to go to school because you're not looking good. No, but you need to go to school. You need to go to school because you need to have the skill to win, because competition is based on what? Two opposing forces going after the same interests. Somebody has to go home broke, and somebody has to go home with some money. You have to decide every day who's that going to be. I don't know if this is helping you. I don't know who this is for, but I'm telling you, God says, start your business and stop listening to all of that religious rhetoric, because you're going to go broke doing that. You're going to, the rules of earth are what they are. The rules of church are what they are. The rules of kingdom are what they are. And you need to have a clarity in all of that. Some of you all, you go out and you're like, listen, let me tell you one thing. You're having fun right now because the machine's not working, so I guess God decided to talk. Let me tell you this. You all, some of you go out, you're like, I won't take my offering from the church because it doesn't have it. You're not blessing that church. Take your offering, even if you want to turn about and send it back. And send it back in the seat of an offering. When they give you, why? Because God said, don't ever give back what came into my treasury. That came into his treasury. And he needs you. Now, what you want to do with it after that, but that was, you weren't taking that for him. You're taking that for you, you're taking it for him. See, we have a whole lot of skewed ideas about how this works, and then we're wondering. And it takes so long forever to show up as a problem that we disconnect. And that's why you need prophets, apostles, and wise people, wise and righteous teachers, to tell you this is what happened. This is where it went south. You know, when you can go to sleep, while you're on a long trip, you go to sleep and a driver makes one bad turn, and you don't know that there's a problem until you wake up. And a lot of us, we went to sleep and the driver took a bad turn. And we're on a one-way highway where there are no U-turns. And we've got to walk it out or ride it out. So if you have a business idea, make sure you get good counsel. Do not be hyper-emotional. Get good counsel. And get good advice and good guidance so that you can make money. Trust me, God has no problem with money. He knows it. Whatever it is. Let me tell you why I know God has no problem with money. Because in countries where money is a stone, he doesn't have a problem with it. Because the object is just the object. It's the exchange. It's about the exchange. You taking your gifts and talent and exchanging it for something that improves your life and advances you, and you, what you give in that exchange is supposed to advance, improve, and profit someone else. What are you exchanging every day of value? You are valuable. There's great worth in you, great worth. Some of you, I'm looking at you right now, and you're like, God, it's too late. The devil's a liar. It's not too late. Now we sit here eating chicken from a man who didn't get a vision to 80. We're still eating this man's chicken. Oh, she's come, guys. She's telling me I got to go, so I have to leave you. Listen, catch you. Go back and listen to it again and again. Please pass it on, because you're passing it on. We're growing. We're getting bigger. We're getting stronger. This is a team effort, and what I just did was an exchange. I gave you something of value. You must reciprocate with something of value, of equal or greater value. That's an exchange. So until next week, Tuesday night, ABCs of Apostleship. Tuesday night, we'll see you next Thursday. I love you greatly. God bless and good night.